man, it was pretty fire to hear something I've been talking about for quite some time on a Coach Rick Adams show. Now, granted, I think I almost got it from there a few years ago, but it was mentioned in passing. It was never directly addressed. And I directly addressed it on this show. I get it. There's much bigger, much better shows, frankly. They're going to have more of the content that I actually want, or you know what I'm saying, the subjects that I want to highlight. They're going to have, you know, bigger and better explanations for it and more production behind what they're talking about. They're just not going to be able to go in depth as I like to go personally, because I may be a little bit more passionate about the issue, or I may just have a different perspective. I mean, everybody's got their own unique perspective. I think we need to hear it. That's why I hate the people that don't like free speech. But, you know, neither being here nor there. And I want to say it was like between the 5th and 7th, Coach Greg Adams did a stream. And he mentioned, you know, at the beginning of the stream, if you don't have these two things, you're not basically fit to be a father. And one of the first tangents he went on was about surrogacy. And that's something I've been saying is an ugly truth about the future of, you know, fatherhood. And again, you know, to say that, essentially, I'm advocating that the woman is completely cut off from the decision outside of the incubation of the child and the birth. You know, the entire process be just the man and the man only. And, you know, while some may see that as problematic and they don't like it and sexism and blah, 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 whoop-de-whoop, it's like, okay, let's look at the current reality we have now, not the reality you wish we had, not the slaves that you want men to be, because I feel a lot of it. Because here's the thing, I try to hear women's perspective. I try to hear feminism's, you know, stance and viewpoints on this. And often they just mention the desires that men have of them, requirements men have of them, whatever. They'll say that's slavery. They'll say women, men have standards that women can't meet. And we're essentially saying the same thing, but like, where do you go on who's right or wrong? You know, playing devil's advocate, getting out of your own shoes, not taking it from the perspective of a man. Like, where do you, like, how do you, which side do you lean toward? And I tend to say, removing all objectivity and solipsism and the fact that I'm a male or black or and a father or any of that shit, remove it all. And just looking at it abstractly. You know, I look at the male side, and there's not an entire governmental structure designed for their prosperity. Like, the U.S. government is designed to ensure female prosperity. The U.S. government is designed to now steal jobs from men. Let's be frank. There is a well-deserving man who probably isn't getting a job as a board or cabinet position of a company because California, for example, has a law stating you have to have a female board member. Now, for the most part, I think that's a stupid law. I think you go for the who's the best for the job. And for example, maybe you have a Tesla or an Uber or any of these companies, and you're like, hey, I do want the female perspective, but I'm going for it. Even then, it's still a meritocracy because you're going to be like, of all the women, I'm going to go for the best subject. But then you have all of these gender studies warriors who are going to insert themselves places they do not fucking belong. And that's why you have the shit show you do in corporate America and entertainment America and in the news media and in politics and everything, in social media, the digital media. It's just everywhere because these people have infected everything to include something as minuscule and minor and, as far as I'm concerned, juvenile as the gaming industry. Like, women couldn't even let that be. They needed that. They needed to reign over everything. And I see them being little tyrants. And I'm like, and this is me speaking from an objective, abstract position. I'm not coming at it from male. But I'm like, I see all these things. And where I look at men, and obviously men aren't perfect. They're not saints. And they do commit majority of violent crimes and all the shit the feminists will lob at men. Sure, it's true. But I see the simping. And it disproves a lot of the women's claims. It disproves, you know, the whole idea of men having possible standards to meet for women. When you look at, I just have to look at the numbers of social media. I'm very analytical. I look at the numbers. I always want the numbers ran and the outcome, numbers and outcomes. I look at that primarily, right? So I look at social media and I'm like, the numbers are definitely not telling a story of men having impossible standards for women. Now, if you go to the 100,000, 10,000, you know, 20,000 and above, you know, type of subscription or not subscriptions, that's like Twitch, like followers and whatnot, right? Facebook, whatever it may be. Instagram, let's go Facebook, Instagram primarily. If you're simply a woman who's not obese and you're not completely torn apart in the face, you're going to get your 5,000 followers bare minimum. Now, you have a decent set of boobs or butt on you. Yeah, you're going to do pretty well on social media and in life and all this other shit. And you're pretty much going to be living in a world where you're essentially like firing up Minecraft on creative mode and not survival mode. Whereas if you're a man, you're playing Call of Duty hardcore on veteran. And unfortunately, they don't. See, here's the thing. You would ultimately look at this and say that you have two sides that don't understand one another. But I can't help but understand, like, we can abstractly understand the female perspective. They want a return on investment, same as men. And if you look at the family court and how women will ultimately lay claim to half of a man's labor because they say that they, you know, were with that man and therefore that man's property is their property and all that other shit. What it is essentially is in women maybe aren't saying this out loud. Maybe it's subconscious and they're not acknowledging it, but I'll go ahead and point it out. What the family court is an acknowledgement of prostitution. It isn't mostly an acknowledgement of a woman's time being monetized. Now, it's completely thrown out the man's time, and I'm getting back on surrogacy, I didn't forget, but it's completely thrown out the idea that, hey, the man had a time investment that was wasted upon the dissolution of this relationship as well, but we're throwing that the fuck out. So we're looking at it, and we're saying, so especially if, you know, with the whole window of fertility and prime and the wall and all that other shit, they're taking all that into consideration, even if they're not saying it out loud, and even if they will never acknowledge it vocally, what they're doing is they're looking at it like this. If I'm a woman and I put 10 years into a relationship with a guy from ages like, let's say 24 to 34, and it didn't work out, well, that man took my entire, you know, prime. Granted, you were in your prime in, you know, 17, 18, 19, but you didn't mature. You probably didn't have 12 brain cells to rub together until you were in your mid 20s, so 22. So that man, essentially, you're saying he took my whole fertility window. And now that I'm single at 34, you know, he's going to have to pay. He's going to, you know, say, not only that, let's say you have children and all that other shit, so it's like the man takes all responsibility. Neither be here nor there, though. It is a bill. It's essentially a bill. And getting back into surrogacy, you can see a reasonable conclusion that men have come up with when we have this discussion, which very few men are actually willing to have that discussion about surrogacy, because let's say, you know, I've looked at some ranges of $40,000, $50,000, $90,000 for a surrogate. You can find it, you know, kind of janky, low quality, I guess you would call it, companies and businesses that offer this service for $15,000 to $20,000. And then Coach Greg actually specified in the episode, which I have linked in the description box, that if you're unwilling to make this investment, then don't make the investment with a woman, because you're going to be out more than what that is going to cost you. Considering that the child alone is going to be, you know, several $100,000 investment from birth to 18 years old, and then beyond, because you're going to help your kid out beyond the age of 18, I hope you're not that much of a piece of shit, you know, so all that investment I actually don't mind. I'm a parent, I don't mind that investment, and then I will help out, you know, my kids, or if I was, you know, had any more kids or anything else like that. It's just like, where it gets janky is, okay, now I have to take care of the woman's every desire and whatever bullshit she may ever come up with in her head. And it's just like, it's getting ridiculous. Oh, let me segue back to what I was talking about between men and women, this whole gender dynamic. You may have an issue of where it affects both men and women, where people have dreamt up something in their head that, you know, a romantic partner cannot live up to. But men's standards have been hammered and they've been chipping away at it for so long, forever, that now fat women have circumvented their way into the market. And the reason that men are like so risk adverse to women is because, okay, here's a great example, and this is going to get back into the surrogacy thing. you know, Patrick Mahomes, pregnant girlfriend, pregnant fiance, and someone he's going to marry, have a kid with. You know, Jeff Bezos actually just went through a high-profile divorce. And I'm not saying that Patrick Mahomes is going down the barrel of a divorce at some point in his life. Could happen, could not happen. As his high school sweetheart, I wish them the best. But let's say, for example, that does happen, just for argument's sake of the numbers, of the type of money that these men have. You know, Bezos, divorce, he's one of the richest men in the world. So he can go through the next 20 divorces and still be a multimillionaire. Multi-billionaire, as a matter of fact. He can literally go through 20 divorces and still be a multimillionaire. Pat Mahomes, even if at the end of his career, you know, he plays another decade or maybe even, you know, 15 years, because quarterbacks have a long shelf life. So let's say he goes a minimum 12 more years. And he's got a $500 million for, I want to say it's a decade-long contract. He gets another contract for, you know, whatever minimum he can make. But even his market value, even at the end of his career, is still going to be, you know, $10 million a year, $5 million a year. So you're looking at could be another $40, $50 million. So, and obviously he's not going to have that all in liquid cash. But let's say this man, you know, has assets in his 30s to the tune of like $200, $300 million in assets and cash. And he gets a divorce and loses 75%. He's still going to be a multi-millionaire, multi-multi-millionaire, you know, 20, 30 million in the bank. Good to go. He's good. Jeff Bezos, after his divorce, he's still one of the richest men walking the earth. But now we get into the regular guy argument. Now, even some of us who are in the upper six-figure level range, not half a million, but let's say you're in the $200,000 or $150,000 a year range. Now, granted, you're working. Again, this gets hairier because thinking about what it takes to make that level of money, you're busting your ass to the white meat. You're busting knuckles to the bone. And you would like to live a lifestyle to that income, to that work. You know, basically, whatever your workload is, you would love to live a lifestyle commensurate to that. And a woman could come along. You're making, let's say, $200K. She takes half, maybe more. Now you're looking at your take-home income being in, you know, when the higher you go up in taxes, or higher you go up in income, the higher your taxes go. So the government's already got its hands deep in your pockets. And now a woman comes along and takes 50 to 75%, because some of these chicks are getting 75. All right, you're on a quarter of your own income. Even still, you know, a nearly $200,000 a year man is going to be taking home $50K a year. That sucks, but you can still, like, eat and get a shitty apartment on that type of money. But now, let's get into the majority of men. The majority of men are probably in the 30 to 90 grand a year range. There are more men there than there are anywhere else. I mean, obviously, there's a ton of men below that poverty line under 30 grand, but let's just say you're going to have the bulk of men in the 30 grand to 90 grand a year range. Again, even if you look at 80 grand, bitch comes and takes 60% of that. You know, you're looking at, you're making 30, 31, 32. After taxes, you're taking home 20 grand a year. If you're lucky, then you have to go take on a second income. And oh, guess what? What happens when you start making more money to supplement, you know, the money that you lost to your ex-wife? Well, now your income just went up and the woman's going to be like, well, I want an increase in what I'm taking from him. You know what I'm saying? So there's these immense risks. These immense risks. And over time, I talked to a thought the other day about child support and whatnot. And she wanted to argue from the hills to the shining seas about how women are entitled to all this because they're women, essentially. And, you know, not insulting her, not going on to a sexist tirade, I look at these things like this. I'm like, okay, so you're entitled to it. So if man just decides, I don't want to pay for you, I don't want to fund your life, I want to somehow lay my head down in my 50s and 60s and maybe relax a little bit and draw back on hard work and manual labor and all that other shit, and I want to survive off passive income and live a lifestyle of minimalism and maybe, you know, not work myself into an early grave because of some thought, I'm a bad guy. I'm a misogynist. But it's just like, am I really? We need to have a conversation about that. We really do. Because women are the majority of voters, college graduates, and income earners now. The workforce is mostly women. So why have we not gone back and changed this whole men are providers? Feminism has done what it's needed to do for the from the gender perspective in America, but yet men are still legally under the gun as if it's 1944 and there's no women in the workforce and they're just these weak, dainty housewives that are being oppressed by the evil patriarchy. That's not the case anymore in 2020. It's not. And the surrogacy is the only answer to that, because you look at this. Let's say you have to pay between the maximum and the minimum price from what I've seen online. So it's going to put you in a $50,000 upfront you're going to have to come up with. Okay, how do you do that if you're the average guy? And let's say that's what you make in a year. You don't just have 50 grand sitting in the bank. You're getting your asses taxed to death, and you're making take home maybe 40-something, if you're lucky. Maybe you're taking home 35. You make 50 grand a year to take. I don't know, they're not taking that much money, but let's ballpark it. Let's say you make 50 a year. They're taking nine. You're 9 to 10, so you're making 40. Then you got to include all your bills and all that shit. Maybe you got 10 grand of spending money to yourself a year for investing or whatever the case may be. It'll take you years to come up with the money to pay for a surrogate, or get your credit in order, take out a small home loan, small mortgage for that. Or if you're in your early 20s, plan on using a surrogate and at 30, invest over the next 5 to 10 years, like literally plan this out, do the surrogacy thing. And whilst you may push back on it because a two-parent household, you're basically signing up to be a single parent. But think about this from the perspective of, this is how you get to the space that women exist in now. So women could just make a baby with a random person and they'll get custody on all the benefits and the amenities and make all the choices in the upbringing of that child. And the only way a man can get to that space is through surrogacy. I'm a big, big, big advocate of surrogacy. Now, that price tag up front is steep, and there are ways for you to come up with it. There's ways for you to get a payment plan. Your credit has to be in order, and your financial house has to be in pristine shape. But again, as Coach Greg Adams eloquently put in his show, like, look, if your financial house isn't in order for you to come up with the 50 to 80 grand to drop on surrogacy up front, then how are you going to be able to withstand the storm that it is dealing with the average modern woman? Once she drops papers on you, once she takes your kid away from you, the risk is significantly more immense than you having a $70,000 debt on your head from surrogacy. And let's say you have that, but then the surrogacy bill, once you've done that and you get your child, you got full custody and ain't no woman gonna take you no family court, you know, woman, no child support, your kid is yours, you get to raise the kid as you see fit. You know what I'm saying? Like Cristiano Ronaldo has a couple of surrogate children, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously he's a multi-millionaire, so it's different. It's different, but you can scale it down to levels, right? You get to raise that child as you see fit. The comedian, Amari King, the Trump supporter guy, a lot of people don't like him. I think he's funny, I guess. He's a single father, right? Single father, got his kids with him. He probably knocked up a crack whore or some shit, because there's no way in hell. It's very hard to be a single parent when you would prefer the two-parent household, but that's going away. Like I said, this goes both ways with the genders, but it's like you have a easier time dealing with this, raising your child as you see fit. And if you're not prepared to be a parent, then don't fucking do it. If you are repulsed by the sound of crying babies and all that other shit, just like, you're going to have to get used to that. And you know what's crazy? The baby stage is easy comparison to every cascading, step after that. I thought the baby stage was easier than the toddler stage, and then it's easier than the small child stage, and it's easier as the, grade school age, and it's much easier. And I've only dealt with up to middle school right now, but all of that shit only gets harder. With that, neither being in or there, though. Emery King, the comedian, Cristiano Ronaldo, two men, surrogate fathers, some men I know that are single fathers with custody, they're raising their children as they see fit. And in fact, I know some very tragic stories of how, it's almost better to just do the surrogacy thing than deal with the actual bullshit. Because I know a guy who's, granted, this is a very rare case, a sad case, but, not rare, I'm sorry, it's actually pretty common, but his children to get custody of his children, to actually have a say in how his kids were raised. You know, he discovered that one of his children was being sexually molested by the mother's boyfriend. Common thing. And then he actually still had to go to court and fight with a feminist judge, because once, if you ever have a judge with tits, I'm sorry, women, female judges are going to be sexist towards men 99.9% of the time. Whereas you may, male judges, they're probably sexist. There's no judges on any family courts or any courts that are going to be sexist towards women in the U.S. or in the Western world, period. I doubt that. I challenge anybody on that. I don't think there's a single judge who would ever be sexist towards women, but there are millions of them who would be sexist towards men, who will be biased towards men. So I really don't want to hear it. I'm not, again, like I said when I was trying to objectively and abstractly look at this, it's like I can't go and look at devil's advocate and removing the abstraction of my gender and all that other shit, my bias and any of that other stuff. I still can't come up with a conclusion where I'm going to sit there and look and take the women's side and be like, you know what? These men out here are terrible and sexist and blah, 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 blah. You know, there are issues. They do face issues. I feel like their issues are individual and not systemic. The whole systemic patriarchy shit has long been removed. And they may have issues where they run into the asshole. And I feel like the bulk of women's issues are self-inflicted. Same thing with black people, unfortunately. The bulk of our issues, the bulk of women's issues, the bulk of most people in this planet's issues are self-inflicted. Unless you're somebody born to a poor situation outside of the West here in the third world, you have no chance. And that sucks. But it's life. I didn't actually be born in the Western first world, but I like it. And that's the thing where I push back with black people and they get mad because I'm not a BLM supporter, but I'm like, I can't. Especially when you're talking about destroying the entire system. Like, I like getting up in the morning, going to work, living in a stable society where I can safely go from home to work. And yeah, oh, you're black, you need to get in all. I'm not worried about having that type of interaction with the cops. I don't be out there. I don't get in altercations. I don't do that. Because I'm going to say, today is October 8th. I'm going to upload this much later in October, maybe in November, but I'm not going to get in no motherfucking altercation. Like, there was a guy in Texas, unfortunately, this is probably a clear case of police brutality. They fucking shot this dude. It's fucked up. You can call it racism, whatever the fuck you want to call it. But it looks like this dude was saving a woman from getting beat up by a man. And I go back into my red pill mind state, removing all the distinctions. And I'm like, the red pill tells me not to be tapped to save a hoe. I wouldn't have even involved myself in that altercation. God knows, if he didn't get killed by the cops, the dude who the woman was fighting with or was beating up the woman, the dude could have shot him. In fact, I want to say there was a case where, and I don't have specifics, but there was a case where a woman was getting her ass beat, had a dude come by simping and saving, Captain Save-A-Ho came by, got himself murdered, and then the woman who, you know, had the scent, put his cape on, actually helped dispose of the body. Like, this bitch helped. And then, you know, I tell that story to a woman, and the women are like, and I actually had a woman legitimately tell me that woman was under the influence of the man she was with, and therefore she should be innocent and let off jail, blah, 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 blah. I also had her reference when I was talking about slavery, and I'm like, how white women were implicit in what the fuck happened back then, too. She tried to argue, well, white women were powerless and they were under the influence of men, so therefore whatever hand they had in slavery makes them innocent because they're women.
Get out of here. You can't win. Surrogacy is one of the only ways now. You can't win. 100% of them across the board are feminists, because feminism is nature. Feminism is simply self-preservation. Feminism is simply them boosting themselves up to something that they're not. And they're not impartial. They're not fair. They don't look at people or things from an impartial stance. They would never make a decision that would benefit more than themselves. They are solipsistic in nature. I'm not being sexist in saying that. Most human beings, let's be real, men and women are solipsistic as hell. But at least I would be considerate of another human being in a situation. I would not want to. Like, for example, let's look at Social Security is a great example. I don't want Social Security. I don't want to pay into it, and I don't want to collect it. I don't. I don't even like the idea of a pension, because after I found out what a pension was, I'm like, well, that kind of sucks. Because pensions are essentially companies taking money from the current workforce to pay the old workforce.
And then at the end of the day, it's the assumption that the company is going to continually grow. So you're just going to, you know, even though you're paying it forward now, you're going to get it back later. But here's the problem. It's all a Ponzi scheme. It's all a pyramid scheme. Millennials are going to get the short end of the stick on the Social Security bullshit. And I'd rather we just cut the rip off the Band-Aid and eat the whole ass and go back to China's. I mean, maybe not legally force it like China does, but maybe adopt China's retirement system. China's basically forces the firstborn son to take care of the people when they get old. We go back to that. And if you're one of these, you know, red pill dudes who didn't have kids, hopefully you saved money to fucking get yourself into a nursing home. And if nothing else, if you're one of these women who decided to climb the corporate ladder, again, same thing to the men. But that's all I got. Y'all have a good one. I'm out.